The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. One of the striking things about our Lord's Passion is how prominent is the theme of Jesus as King. Now, for modern Americans, this can be a little challenging. We don't have much experience with kings, and right from the beginning of our history, the United States has identified monarchy with tyranny. You know, democracy is the preferred option. To suggest that there might be some value in unelected and traditional forms of government, well, that's really kind of un-American. In fact, in some church circles these days, the spirit of egalitarianism is so strong that in hymnals and Bible translations, they positively avoid the terms king and kingdom as much as they can. Well, in spite of all of this, this morning's scripture reading from the Passion narrative according to St. Mark confronts us with the kingship of Jesus. And then it identifies it with his humiliation and crucifixion. So against all modern sensibilities, Jesus is king. And contrary to all normal expectations, his kingship becomes evident only in his shame and death. Now, of course, it's true that the evangelist St. Mark does record some of Jesus' sayings regarding the theme of kingdom of God. It's something that Jesus talked a lot about. It's also true that in the gospel, Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. That's a messianic term, which at least in some contexts points toward his kingship. Nonetheless, it is striking that only in Mark 15 is Jesus actually called king. In verse 2, Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And our Lord assents, "You have said so." This, then, is how Pilate refers to Jesus in the rest of the chapter. On two occasions, he goes to the crowd. "Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" And then, after their refusal, he turns Jesus over to the soldiers. And what do? They proceed to mock Jesus as the King of the Jews. And they take him off for crucifixion. Heaping insult upon insult, Pilate orders an inscription placed over Jesus' head, "The King of the Jews." And finally, at this point, even the chief priests and the scribes pick up on this royal reviling, and they say, "Let Christ, the King of Israel, come down from the cross that we may see and believe." Now, clearly, these leaders and Pilate intend the title king as an insult and humiliation. For whoever heard of a king on a cross? Kings are supposed to rule and to exercise power. They're supposed to do the punishing. But Jesus, well, he's on the receiving end. Instead of ruling, he gets pushed and pulled, scourged and nailed. Instead of exercising power, he exhibits the greatest weakness. Instead of honor, he is set in the midst of shame. So what kind of king is this? Well, it's nothing that fits our expectations. And yet, there is more to this than pure mockery. There's more to this than what Jesus' enemies intended. For we know that Jesus really is a king. He is the Christ. He is the Son of David. I mean, that's what he had said at his trial in answer to the high priest's question. "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" To this, Jesus had answered, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." But power and the clouds of heaven, That is precisely what we do not see. Instead, we see only a cross. And so again, we ask, what kind of king is he? Now, earlier in the gospel, Jesus had prepared his disciples for what was coming by predicting his passion on three separate occasions. The Son of Man, he told them, will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. But Jesus had also prepared his disciples for his unique form of kingship. For in answer to the request of James and John for the best seats in glory, Jesus had told them this. He had said, those who are rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now you see, every king has to have his own people. Without a people who recognize his rule, well, a king is not much of a king. So the way of the world is for kings to exercise power over their people, to rule and to be served by them. And so people who belong to a king are called his subjects, his underlings, those that are ruled. But now Jesus is different. He is not a Gentile king. That's clear from the text. He is King of the Jews. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means that he's King of God's people. He's the special one who'd been promised to the patriarchs, prophesied by the prophets, and therefore he's different. And his relationship to his people is different. For he exercises his kingship in a way that is exactly the opposite of ordinary worldly kings. Because he does not rule by power. He who has all power by divine nature becomes king not by ruling, but by redeeming, rescuing, ransoming. Because his people are lost in sin, condemned to death, live out their days under the powers of hell, Jesus acts in their place. He rescues them by replacing them, by replacing us. He becomes sin for us. He dies our death. He suffers the agony of hell so that we never need to. Instead of power, therefore, Jesus exhibits weakness and humiliation. He puts himself into the hands of those who hate him, revile him, reject him, and kill him. But in this way, and this way only, Jesus becomes our king. He's paid for us. He's bought us. He's ransomed us. He has saved us. And so we belong to him. We are his people. We are the new Israel. We are the children of Abraham. We are the sons of God. Now, no one can really fathom this kingship of Jesus, because no one can comprehend such love. We Americans may have little use for the kings of this world, but Jesus is one king whom all of us, Americans and non-Americans alike, should treasure. For by his passion, he rescues us. By the gift of himself, he forgives us. He grants us eternal life. So even as we now remember Jesus' passion, Jesus' suffering, we're going to rejoice. We are going to rejoice because we are his people. We rejoice because Jesus is our King. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.